And maybe just to give you a little background about myself, I'm an ecologist from Oregon, and I'm focused on rangeland restoration, not a horticulturist, but there's a lot of surprising similarities here, particularly with respect to drought. So I'm excited to share with you on some of the technologies we've been developing for improving seeding success and after wildfire. Drought's a big issue there, as well as how that applies to agricultural species. I acknowledge my co-authors here, Michaela Herbert, Madison Wynn, and Anna McFarland. They're undergraduate students currently at Brigham Young University that's been helping us with the project. Micah McMillan, who'll be talking later, and Stanley Koska, they're scientists with Aquatrols Corporation of America. And we have an agreement with USDA and Aquatrols, Cooperative Research and Agreement, that's funding this project. And again, talking about drought, we all know it's an issue. Looking back last year, the West and Southwest were suffering severe drought. And even today, we can see the western part of the U.S., particularly California, is continuing to suffer from that exceptional drought. And it's having impacts on our agricultural production here in the U.S., but it's also a global issue. I mean, the World Economic Forum has named water availability as a top societal and economic risk for the next 10 years, a topic that's continuing to grow. And I like this quote from a paper by Ferris and Sereno. They say, at present and more so in the future, irrigated agriculture will take place under water scarcity. Insufficient water supply for irrigation will be the norm rather than the exception. And irrigation management will shift from emphasizing production per unit area towards maximizing the production per unit of water consumed. And we're seeing that now with these droughts. The price of water just goes up along with our food. So there's a need for technologies to be developed to allow us to be able to continue to produce the food that we need, particularly in light that with global population increasing. So where can we go for solutions? Surfactant technologies offers a potential new and innovative solution for our drought problems. This is a neat paper that just came out by Chechi et al. Here in Crop Science. And they went out and they used a surfactant and applied it through fertigation, dripped it into their irrigation system and applied it onto corn. And they had some neat results, and were able to show through their economic evaluations that surfactant applied at the same profit, they showed that if surfactant was applied, the same profit could be obtained with 40% less water. So to me, this is quite exciting result. And we wanted to see what happens when we put this surfactant onto seeds. Can we improve particularly this topic I'm going to discuss now, can we improve seed germination under drought stress? And we used onion as our model species, variety Crystal White Wax. And what we did is we coated or applied a film coating, so a thin polymer coating onto the seed with a rotary coater. The surfactant chemistry we're working with here is a non-ionic alkyl-terminated block copolymer. And we applied that surfactant at five different rates, ranging from 0.125 to 1.5 grams of product per kilogram of seed, as well as we had in the trial just a plain polymer coating and a untreated seed. So that gave us a total of seven treatments that we tested. And then we took those and we tested them under two different soil moisture regimes. One was optimal moisture determined the container capacity of the pots that we were growing in, or call them boxes, they're acrylic boxes. They held about 2 centimeters of soil. Container capacity, we could put about 23% water. The water content would be 23%, or the water potential would be negative 0.006 megapascals. Then we also tested them under a dry regime, and this was a negative 0.25 megapascals, or 6% by dry weight. So large differences between our soil moisture in the boxes. And ran this in a randomized complete block design in the growth chamber that was set at 10 degrees C. And from that, we went and daily we would count seed germination from these boxes, and we calculated mean germination time and final germination percentage. And basically we just let the study go until all the seeds had completed germinating, which took about 47 days. And what we found, so this is I'm showing mean germination time there on the y-axis, and then we have our application rate on the x-axis. And we found if there's optimal water, we didn't see much improvement with germination timing. Well, what was exciting to me about this study is that you can see as our surfactant application rate increased, the speed at which the seeds germinated also increased, down to about 1 gram of product per kilogram of seed. And then beyond this point, we start to see that the surfactant isn't providing as great a benefit. But just to see that rate trend was exciting, as I said. And we're dropping the time it takes for the seeds to germinate by about 1.7 days. Here, looking at overall germination, where we're able to just let them go for that long period of time, we didn't see any significant difference between the final germination percentages. So the next question we had is, so how does the surfactant affect early plant growth? And we used a similar treatment or study design as what we did with the last study I shared with you. So growing conditions are the same, planted onion. And here the treatments were, we just left the seeds untreated, or we planted a seed that had been coated or with 1 gram of the surfactant. And just so things are clear, the surfactant, the chemical name that Aquatrols is calling it is SET 4001. And I'll be referring to that through this presentation. And we took those seeds, left them in the boxes for 30 days, and then we then determined density as well as fresh weight biomass. So here's the percentage of seeds that emerged. So at 0.006 megapascals, we didn't see treatment effect. Again, here optimal water, everything came up nice. But you go to under the drought environment, and here's where the technology starts to shine. We can see we saw a 23% increase in the number of seedlings that are able to emerge with the surfactant product. Now this is the biomass, total seedling biomass that was produced from those germination boxes that I shared with you earlier. And so large differences in water was applied, so that is the primary driver here. So we've changed the y-axis so we can see differences between our treated and untreated seeds. But you'll notice even under the high water content, we did see a treatment effect, but the largest was under the low water regime. So here at negative 0.25, we saw a 54% increase in biomass produced. Whereas under the high water regime, there was a 17%. So it seems to, again, though, show under drought environments, the surfactant is doing its job. And then looking at biomass per plant, same overall trend. So we're seeing a 30% increase low water regime and 15% increase in the high water regime. Now, we've also done work with turf grass and evaluating this technology. We used tall fescue and perennial ryegrass as our model species, and looked at untreated seed and compared it to this surfactant-coated seed. So same chemistry and same formulation as I shared previously with onion. And then we ran this trial in petri dishes that were stored in the incubators at a 10, 20, and 30 degrees C. And 10 reps in the study. So this shows seed germination time. And both these species germinate relatively fast, but we still see improvements in the time it takes for seeds to germinate by about a day, particularly under the low and the high temperatures. We get away from optimal. It's not as significant, but 30 and around 10 degrees, you know, we're shaving off about a day there in the time it takes to germinate, as well as overall germination is improved by about 5% on these two extremes. So it's exciting, but it's these are germination trials. It's not as not something you want to write home about per se, as compared to plant growth. I mean, that's really where it's at. And so we wanted to look at how do these treatments affect plant growth. And we took these species and treatments and put them in a trial where we planted them in large 18 centimeter diameter by 18 centimeter deep plastic pots. And they're filled with fine sand. And we watered the pots weekly. And we watered them to 70% of field capacity. And what I have here, this data shows, is the water content in the pots prior to watering. So basically, we watered them to 70%, and then they would dry down to just about wilting point. So big shifts in moisture availability here for these plants. So as you can imagine, a significant drought stress. And this shows the results from perennial ryegrass here from treated and untreated seed on turf grass cover over the period of the study. You can see by the end of the study we had about a 48% increase in the number of plants that were able to make it to the end. Then here with tall fescue we had a 23% greater increase. So this is something I think is worth talking about. And again, there's something there with the surfactant that's helping the plants deal with drought stress. So in these last few studies I've talked sharing with you where we're applying the surfactant in a low dose treatment. So this is a little more than your standard seed treatments that you'll see that are commercially available. But we've also been looking at applying, we call them high dose treatments. So upwards of 100 grams of product per kilogram of seed. And when we do this, we put a barrier coating onto the seed, and then we put the surfactant on top of that. And I mentioned previously, as an ecologist, my charge with the USDA has been to improve reseeding success after wildfires and other disturbed areas. And particularly after a wildfire comes through, we get a severe water repellent layer. And we've been loading these high loading rates of surfactant onto the seed so that the seed could be used as the carrier for the surfactant, and precipitation leaches that surfactant into the soil, which ameliorates that water repellent zone around the seed and increases water availability for seed germination and plant establishment. And we're also doing some trials to see, how does this approach work for vegetables, as well as turf grass, and Micah is going to share with you some of that work. I'd like to share with you a trial we did in the field with Dulciana onion. And basically it's had a high and a low water regime here as well. The high water regime we watered daily to 70% of field capacity. And the low water regime we watered every 3 days to 50% of field capacity. And then our seed treatments were non-treated seed, and then the surfactant was applied at 200 grams of product per kilogram of seed. And that was, as you can see, set up here, randomized block design. Our plots that we had about 50 seeds each, and then were 15 by 15 centimeters. and the trial went for just under 30 days. And what we found, again, in correlation with our previous lab work, is we're seeing faster germination under the drought environment. We get to the where there was optimal water, we didn't see improvements in germination. What was interesting with this is that under both the low and the high water regime, we saw improvements, you know, over 50% in the number of seedlings that emerged. And we think maybe the reason for this, so this trial was done in the middle of the summer, so the soil temperatures were approaching 90 degrees, 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So we think we're seeing benefits in a high water regime because of the surfactant's ability to improve germination under warmer temperatures, as I showed previously with the turf grass trial. And then here, looking at biomass, the data on the left side shows the total biomass produced from the plots, and the data on the right shows the biomass per plant. And shoot yield in this instance was not significant, but where we did see benefit was in our bulb or root yield here. So under the low water regime, we saw a 68% increase, and then a 78% increase under the high water regime. And then going on a per plant basis, 34% increase under the low water and 22% increase under the high water regime. So I guess just kind of to wrap things up, this shows in my mind, and there's still work to be done, but we're gaining evidence that applying surfactant to seeds, in fact, does enhance seed germination and plant growth in drought environments. So where are the mechanisms? And I think that's some interesting topics for the future. But, you know, as we decrease germination timing, we lower that period in which you need to keep the soil wet to get the seeds up. So there's savings that could be had there for water conservation. We're improving seed germination under drought environments, so this also is going to potentially lower the amount of water that's needed, and I think we need to do more studies looking at different rates of water and really tease out where our cost savings are at, kind of like the Chaichi et al. Study I shared previously. And then we're getting improved growth too, so that kind of goes back with my previous point. An area that we're looking at right now is looking at what are the interactions of the surfactants with other commonly applied seed treatments like plant growth regulators and fungicides. And then kind of the last point that I want to bring out is, so these are all, this is preliminary work, laboratory, small plot. Now it is time to go to the field. We have a proof of concept. We're getting our rates down. So looking forward to see how these products perform in the field. So with that, I'm glad to take questions.
Do you know what the chemistry of the surfactant is? Is it a body of oxalates, or do you know anything about what it actually is for the compound?
Sure. So it's an alkylpolyglycoside ethylene oxide block copolymer, which base C1, C4, say it, Micah.
It's C1C4
How important is the exact adjunct of surfactant to efficacy? Does it make much difference, or could you use any number then?
No, Micah should speak to this one too, but the Aquatrils has some exciting work going on now looking at different chemical formulations and how they're affecting plant growth, and there is a difference. I think they've got some patents pending, and so.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's a good point. Like with our low dose application, you notice that that trend where we had improved germination up until a certain point, and then that benefit went away. But so to apply a high dose of surfactant, we put a barrier coating or a base coat on, and then we build it up, and that seems to mitigate that deleterious effect that can happen if you get too much material or active ingredient out of the seed.
Could you explain the mechanism? You did mention something about water injection decline with the plant adjusted to it, but in order to maximize yield or increase yield under drought conditions, there is much larger mechanisms in terms of their synthetic efficiency or water insufficiency. Can you look at that? How does the factors influence those two problems?
We haven't yet, but yeah, I think that's an important point. You know, we should be monitoring the plants as well, I suppose, and looking at their photosynthetic rates during those dry down periods. There is some work that's going on, as I mentioned, with that Aquacultures is doing with another collaborator in Germany that's kind of showing that when that surfactant is in the soil, it is helping them deal with that drought stress. So, yeah. Yeah, good, great point. So film coatings are common with onions, and that's why one of the reasons we use this as a model species. But there's also, they do get pelleted. So that's where we've got some collaborators now. We're looking at, you know, adding that in as an ingredient as part of their package that they're already using. So I think that's got a lot of potential, or just a simple film coating shows potential too, so.
Know much about registration of the product? I mean, does this need to be registered, or does it come under something else? If you're showing efficacy, you have to get efficacy data for California use and that type of thing. Or
yeah, that I'll give that to Micah there, the industry side. Yeah.
So, did you only try film coatings, or are there maybe micronized material with binders that you tried to sew in? And where is it? It just sort of releases different types of mechanisms or coatings, even, or different things tried, different types of film coatings?
Yeah. Film coatings have been fairly standard. It's a polymer binder and mixing the surfactant. And we've tried, like, different approaches for like when that surfactant's added in. Would you want to add it just with the water carrier and then add your polymer binder, or do you want to add it with the polymer binder, things like that. We've looked at for the high dose coating, we've looked at various products for use as carriers. In that case, the high dose, we're adding the surfactant in a raw form and then adding a dry powder onto the seed and building it up that way. And we've looked at, like, we found diatomaceous earth is a great carrier for that. It absorbs the surfactant as well as releases it well. Limestone works well too. Bentonite clay, not huge differences, but yeah, we have kind of played around with that. There is, like you said, room for improvement or time release. That'd be kind of cool, so.
Still on the world. I'm always asking how long to back plan.
Well, and that's a good point. First, I'll answer it from my ecology side on range. And we found that when you put the surfactant down, whether for a seed or whether you're spraying it on, after wildfire, you break up that water repellency and restore the hydrology of that soil, and then it's able to wet up, and it seems to stay wet, and it persists for several months. Now, outside of rangeland applications, with the turf grass example, we're seeing benefit after, I think it was 60 days, but at what point it leaves the system, it's kind of hard to say. But.
Just to give an insight on the onion side, the onion interacts very well with the mycorrhizal population in the soil. It improves the yield to sustain the crop after the interaction. I'm just wondering what is the vacuum of the blue stuff that for any mycorrhizal population? Did it track the mycorrhizal?
Sure. Yeah, I think that's a great point. I'd imagine it would enhance, the microbial populations too, because you're increasing water availability, improving drought stress, and I guess the final point is, as far as the longevity of the technology, we all know that. It's those early seedling stages that have huge importance of what goes on down the road. That's what really helps affect yield. And so we get those plants up to a good start. That ends up providing long-term benefit, even if the technology per se is not around in the soil any longer. So.
Do you know what the surfactant is toxic to the mycorrhizae?
No, that would be great level of research. I'm looking to Micah here to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of any.
We have a gentleman who worked with the biologist today, and not the same person, any issues with mycorrhizal
Great questions. Thank you.